He wanted to get married and stay in Kansas. I didn't. I was desperate to change the subject. The amusement in Travis's eyes was humiliating enough. I didn't want him digging further into my past. He took a step toward me and held each side of my face.
A virgin, he said, shaking his head. I would have never guessed with the way you danced the red.
Very funny, I said, stomping up the stairs. Travis attempted to follow me, but tripped and fell, rolling onto his back and laughing hysterically. What are you doing? Get up! I said, helping him to his feet. He hooked his arm around my neck, and I helped him up the stairs. Shepley and America were already in bed, so with no help in sight, I kicked off my heels to avoid breaking my ankles while walking Travis to the bedroom. He fell on his back to the bed, pulling me with him. When we landed, my face was just inches from his. His expression was suddenly serious. He leaned up, nearly kissing me, but I pushed him away. Travis's eyebrows pulled in.
Knock it off, Trav, I said.
He held me tight against him until I quit struggling, and then he flicked the strap of my dress, causing it to hang off my shoulder.
Since the word virgin came out of those beautiful lips of yours, I have a sudden urge to help you out of that dress.
Well, that's too bad. You were ready to kill Parker for the same thing 20 minutes ago, so don't be a hypocrite.
Fuck Parker. He doesn't know you like I do.
Trav, come on. Let's get your clothes off and get you in bed.
That's what I'm talking about, he chuckled.
How much did you drink? I asked, finally getting my footing between his legs.
Enough,
he smiled, pulling at the hem of my dress. You probably surpassed enough a gallon ago, I said, slapping his hand away. I planted my knee on the mattress beside him and pulled his shirt over his head. He reached for me again and I grabbed his wrist, sniffing at the pungent stench in the air.
God, Trav, you reek of Jack Daniels.
Jim Beam, he corrected with a drunken nod.
It smells like burnt wood and chemicals.
It tastes like it, too, he laughed.
I pulled open his belt buckle and yanked it from the loops. He laughed with the jerking motion, and then lifted his head to look at me.
Better guard your virginity, Pidge. You know I like it rough.
Shut up, I said, unbuttoning his jeans, slipping them down over his hips, and then off his legs. I threw the denim to the floor and stood with my hands on my hips, breathing hard. His legs were hanging off the end of the bed, his eyes closed, his breathing deep and heavy. He had passed out. I walked to the closet, shaking my head as I rifled through our clothes. I unzipped my dress and shoved it down over my hips, letting it fall to my ankles. Kicking it into the corner, I pulled my ponytail holder from my hair, shaking out my hair. The closet was bursting with his clothes and mine, and I puffed, blowing my hair from my face as I searched through the mess for a t-shirt. As I pulled one off the hanger, Travis slammed into my back, wrapping his arms around my waist.
You scared the shit out of me, I complained.
He ran his hands over my skin. They felt different, slow and deliberate. I closed my eyes when he pulled me against him and buried his face in my hair, nuzzling my neck. Feeling his bare skin against mine, it took me a moment to protest.
Travis.
He pulled my hair to one side and grazed his lips along my back from one shoulder to the other, unsnapping the clasp of my bra. He kissed the bare skin at the base of my neck, and I closed my eyes. The warm softness of his mouth felt too good to make him stop. A quiet moan escaped from his throat when he pressed his pelvis against mine, and I could feel how much he wanted me through his boxers. I held my breath, knowing the only thing keeping us from that big step I was so opposed to a few moments before was two thin pieces of fabric. Travis turned me to face him, and then pressed against me, leaning my back against the wall. Our eyes met, and I could see the ache in his expression as he scanned the bare pieces of my skin. I had seen him peruse women before, but this was different. He didn't want to conquer me. He wanted me to say yes. He leaned in to kiss me, stopping just an inch away.
I could feel the heat from his skin radiating against my lips, and I had to stop myself from drawing him in the rest of the way. His fingers were digging into my skin as he deliberated, and then his hand slid from my back to the hem of my panties. His index fingers slid down my hips, in between my skin and the lacy fabric, and in the same moment that he was about to slip the delicate threads down my legs, he hesitated. Just when I opened my mouth to say yes, he clenched his eyes shut.
"Not like this," he whispered, brushing his lips across mine. "I want you, but not like this."
He stumbled backwards, falling against the bed to his back, and I stood for a moment, with my arms crossed across my stomach. When his breathing evened out, I shoved my arms through the shirt I still had in my hand and yanked it over my head. Travis didn't move, and I blew out a slow breath of air, knowing I couldn't restrain either of us if I crawled in bed and he woke up with a less honorable perspective. I hurried to the recliner and collapsed into it, covering my face with my hands. I felt the layers of frustration dancing and crashing into each other inside of me. Parker had left feeling slighted. Travis waited until I was seeing someone I truly liked to show an interest in me. And I seemed to be the only girl he couldn't bring himself to sleep with, even when he was wasted. The next morning, I poured orange juice into a tall glass and took a sip as I bobbed my head to the music playing from my iPod. I woke before the sun and then squirmed in the recliner until 8. After that, I decided to clean up the kitchen to pass the time until my less ambitious roommates awoke. I loaded the dishwasher and swept and mopped, and then wiped the counters down. When the kitchen was sparkling, I grabbed the basket of clean clothes and sat on the couch, folding until there were a dozen or more piles surrounding me. Murmuring came from Shepley's room. America giggled, and then it was quiet for a few minutes more, followed by noises that made me feel a bit uncomfortable, sitting alone in the living room. I stacked the piles of folded clothes in the basket and carried it to Travis's room, smiling when I saw that he hadn't moved from the way he had fallen the night before. I set the basket down and pulled the blanket over him, stifling a laugh when he turned over.
"View, pigeon,"
he said, mumbling something inaudible before his breathing returned to slow and deep. I couldn't help but watch him sleep. Knowing he was dreaming about me sent a thrill through my veins that I couldn't explain. Travis seemed to settle back into a quiet sleep, so I decided to take a shower, hoping the sound of someone up and around would quiet Shepley and America's moans and the creaking and banging of the bed against the wall. When I turned off the water, I realized they weren't worried about who could hear. I combed my hair, rolling my eyes at America's high-pitched yelps, more closely resembling a poodle than a porn star. The doorbell rang, and I grabbed my blue terry cloth robe and tightened the belt, jogging across the living room floor. The noises from Shepley's bedroom immediately cut off, and I opened the door to Parker's smiling face.
"Good morning," he said.
I raked my wet hair back with my fingers.
"What are you doing here?"
"I didn't like the way we said goodbye last night. I went out this morning to get your birthday present, and I couldn't wait to give it to you."
"So?"
he said, pulling a shiny box from his jacket pocket.
"Happy birthday, Abs."
He set the silver package in my hand, and I leaned in to kiss his cheek.
"Thank you."
"Go ahead. I want to see your face when you open it." I slipped my finger under the tape on the underside of the box, and then pulled the paper off, handing it to him. A rope of shimmering diamonds set snugly in a white gold bracelet.
"Parker," I whispered.
He beamed.
"You like it?"
"I do," I said, holding it in front of my face in awe. "But it's too much. I couldn't accept this if we'd been dating a year, much less a week." Parker grimaced.
"I thought you might say that. I searched high and low all morning for the perfect birthday present, and when I saw this, I knew there was only one place it could ever belong," he said, taking it from my fingers and clasping it around my wrist.
"And I was right. It looks incredible on you." I held up my wrist and shook my head, hypnotized by the brilliance of colors reacting to the sunlight. "It's the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. No one's ever given me anything so..." Expensive came to mind, but but I didn't want to say that.
Elaborate? I don't know what to say.
Parker laughed and then kissed my cheek.
Say that you'll wear it tomorrow.
I grinned from ear to ear.
I'll wear it tomorrow, I said, looking to my wrist.
I'm glad you like it. The look on your face was worth the 7 stores I went to.
I sighed.
You went to 7 stores?
He nodded, and I took his face in my hands.
Thank you. It's perfect, I said, kissing him quickly.
He hugged me tight.
I have to get back. I'm having lunch with my parents, but I'll call you later, okay?
Okay. Thank you,
I called after him, watching him trot down the stairs. I hurried into the apartment, unable to take my eyes off of my wrist.
Holy shit, Abby, America said, grabbing my hand. Where did you get this?
Parker bought it. It's my birthday present, I said.
America gawked at me, and then down at the bracelet. He bought you a diamond tennis bracelet? After a week? If I didn't know better, I'd say you have a magic crotch.
I laughed out loud, beginning a ridiculous giggle fest in the living room. Shepley emerged from his bedroom looking tired and satisfied.
What are you fruitcakes shrieking about in here?
America held up my wrist.
Look, her birthday present from Parker.
Shepley squinted, and then his eyes popped open.
Whoa.
I know, right? America said, nodding.
Travis stumbled around the corner looking a bit beat up.
You guys are loud as fuck, he groaned, buttoning his jeans.
Sorry, I said, pulling my hand from America's grip. Our almost moment crept into my mind, and I couldn't seem to look him in the eyes. He downed the rest of my orange juice, and then wiped his mouth.
Who in the hell let me drink that much last night?
America sneered.
You did. You went out and bought a 5th after Abby left with Parker, and killed the whole thing by the time she got back.
Damn,
he said, shaking his head.
Did you have fun?
He asked, looking to me.
Are you serious?
I asked, showing my anger before thinking.
What?
America laughed.
You pulled her out of Parker's car, seeing red when you caught them making out like high schoolers. They fogged up the windows and everything.
Travis's eyes unfocused, scanning his memories of the night before. I worked to stifle my temper. If he didn't remember pulling me from the car, he wouldn't remember how close I came to handing my virginity to him on a silver platter.
How pissed are you?
He asked, wincing.
Pretty pissed.
I was angry that my feelings had nothing to do with Parker. I tightened my robe and stomped down the hall. Travis's footsteps were right behind me.
Pidge,
he said, catching the door when I shut it in his face. He slowly pushed it open and stood before me, waiting to suffer my wrath.
Do you remember anything you said to me last night?
I asked.
No. Why?
Was I mean to you?
His bloodshot eyes were heavy with worry, which only served to amplify my anger.
No, you weren't mean to me. You... We...
I covered my eyes with my hands, and then froze when I felt Travis's hand on my wrist.
Where'd this come from?
He said, glaring at the bracelet.
It's mine, I said, pulling away from him.
He didn't take his eyes from my wrist.
I've never seen it before. It looks new.
It is.
Where'd you get it?
Parker gave it to me about 15 minutes ago, I said, watching his face morph from confusion to rage.
What the fuck was that douchebag doing here? Did he stay the night?
He asked, his voice rising with each question. I crossed my arms. He went shopping for my birthday present this morning and brought it by.
It's not your birthday yet.
His face turned a deep shade of red as he worked to keep his temper under control.
He couldn't wait, I said, lifting my chin with stubborn pride.
No wonder I had to drag your ass out of his car. Sounds like you were...
He trailed off, pressing his lips together. I narrowed my eyes.
What? Sounds like I was what?
His jaws tensed, and he took a deep breath, blowing it out from his nose.
Nothing. I'm just pissed off, and I was going to say something shitty that I didn't mean.
It's never stopped you before.
I know. I'm working on it,
he said, walking to the door.
I'll let you get dressed.
When he reached for the knob, he paused, rubbing his arm. As soon as his fingers touched the tender splatter of purple pooling under his skin, he pulled up his elbow and noticed the bruise. He stared at it for a moment, and then turned to me.
"I fell on the stairs last night, and you helped me to bed," he said, sifting through the blurry images in his mind.
My heart was pounding, and I swallowed hard as I watched realization strike. His eyes narrowed.
"We,"
he began, taking a step toward me, looking at the closet, and then to the bed.
"No, we didn't. Nothing happened," I said, shaking my head.
He cringed, the memory obviously replaying in his mind.
"You fog up Parker's windows, I pull you out of the car, and then I try to..."
he said, shaking his head. He turned for the door and grabbed the knob, his knuckles white.
"You're turning me into a fucking psycho pigeon,"
he growled over his shoulder.
"I don't think straight when I'm around you."
"So it's my fault?" He turned. His eyes fell from my face to my robe to my legs, and then my feet, returning to my eyes.
"I don't know. My memory is a little hazy. But I don't recall you saying no."
I took a step forward, ready to argue that irrelevant little fact. But I couldn't. He was right.
"What do you want me to say, Travis?"
He looked at the bracelet, and then back at me with accusing eyes.
"You were hoping I wouldn't remember."
"No, I was pissed that you forgot." His brown eyes bored into mine.
"Why?"
"Because if I would have... if we would have... and you didn't...
I don't know why. I just was."
He stormed across the room, stopping inches from me. His hands touched each side of my face, his breathing quick as he scanned my face.
"What are we doing, Pidge?"
My eyes began at his belt, and then rose over the muscles and tattoos of his stomach and chest, finally settling on the warm brown of his irises.
"You tell me."
Chapter 7. 19.
"Abby?"
Shepley said, knocking on the door.
"Mare was going to run some errands. She wanted me to let you know in case you needed to go."
Travis hadn't taken his eyes from mine.
"Pidge?"
"Yeah," I called to Shepley. "I have some stuff I need to take care of."
"All right. She's ready to go when you are,"
Shepley said, his footsteps disappearing down the hall.
"Pidge."
I pulled a few things from the closet and slid past him. "Can we talk about this later? I have a lot to do today."
"Sure,"
he said with a contrived smile. It was a relief to escape to the bathroom. I quickly closed the door behind me. 2 weeks left in the apartment, and no way to put off the conversation. At least not for that long. The logical part of my brain insisted that Parker was my type. Attractive, smart, and interested in me. Why I bothered with Travis was something I would never understand. Whatever the reason, it was making us both insane. I had been divided into two separate people, the docile, polite person I was with Parker, and the angry, confused, frustrated person I turned into around Travis. The entire school had witnessed Travis going from unpredictable before to damn near volatile. I dressed quickly, leaving Travis and Shepley to go downtown with America. She giggled about her morning sexcapade with Shepley, and I listened with dutiful nods in all the right places. It was hard to focus on the topic at hand, with the diamonds of my bracelet creating tiny dots of light on the ceiling of the car, reminding me of the choice I was suddenly faced with. Travis wanted an answer, and I didn't have one.
"Okay, Abby. What's going on? You've been quiet."
"This thing with Travis, it's just a mess."
"Why?"
she said, her sunglasses pushing up when she wrinkled her nose. "He asked me what we were doing."
"What are you doing? Are you with Parker or what?"
"I like him, but it's been a week. We're not serious or anything."
"You have feelings for Travis, don't you?"
I shook my head. "I don't know how I feel about him. I just don't see it happening, Mare. He's too much of a bad thing."
"Neither one of you will just come out and say it. That's the problem. You're both so scared of what might happen that you're fighting it tooth and nail. I know for a fact that if you looked Travis in the eye and told him you wanted him,
he would never look at another woman again.
You know that for a fact?
Yes. I have the inside track, remember?
I paused in thought for a moment. Travis had been talking to Shepley about me, but Shepley wouldn't encourage a relationship by telling America. He knew she would tell me, leading me to the only conclusion. America had overheard them. I wanted to ask her what was said, but thought better of it.
That situation is a broken heart just waiting to happen, I said, shaking my head.
I don't think he's capable of being faithful.
He wasn't capable of carrying on a friendship with a female either, but you two sure shocked the whole of Eastern.
I fingered my bracelet and sighed.
I don't know. I don't mind how things are. We can just be friends.
America shook her head.
Except that you're not just friends, she sighed. You know what? I'm over this conversation. Let's go get our hair and makeup done. I'll buy you a new outfit for your birthday.
I think that's exactly what I need, I said.
After hours of manicures, pedicures, being brushed, waxed, and powdered, I stepped into my shiny yellow high heels and tugged on my new gray dress.
Now that's the Abby I know and love, she laughed, shaking her head at my ensemble.
You have to wear that to your party tomorrow.
Wasn't that the plan all along? I said, smirking. My cell phone buzzed in my purse, and I held it to my ear.
Hello?
It's dinner time. Where the hell did you two run off to?
Travis said. We indulged in a little pampering. You and Shep knew how to eat before we came along. I'm sure you can manage.
Well, no shit. We worry about you, you know?
I looked at America and smiled. We're fine.
Tell him I'll have you back in no time. I have to stop by Brazil's to pick up some notes for Shep, and then we'll be home.
Did you get that? I asked.
Yeah. See you then, Pidge.
We drove to Brazil's in silence. America turned off the ignition, staring at the apartment building ahead. Shepley asking America to drive over surprised me. We were just a block from Shepley and Travis's apartment.
What's wrong, Mare?
Brazil just gives me the creeps. The last time I was here with Shep, he was being all flirty.
Well, I'll go in with you.
If he so much as winks at you, I'll stab him in the eye with my new heels, okay?
America smiled and hugged me.
Thanks, Abby.
We walked to the back of the building, and America took a deep breath before knocking on the door. We waited, but no one came.
I guess he's not here? I asked.
He's here, she said, irritated. She banged on the wood with the side of her fist, and then the door swung open.
Happy birthday!
The crowd inside yelled. The ceiling was pink and black bubbles, every inch covered by helium balloons, with long silver strings hanging down in the faces of the guests. The crowd separated, and Travis approached me with a broad smile, touching each side of my face and kissing my forehead.
Happy birthday, Pigeon.
It's not till tomorrow, I said, still in shock. I tried smiling at everyone around us. Travis shrugged.
Well, since you were tipped off, we had to make some last-minute changes to surprise you.
Surprised?
Very, I said as Finch hugged me.
Happy birthday, baby, Finch said, kissing my lips.
America nudged me with her elbow.
Good thing I got you to run errands with me today, or you would have shown up looking like ass.
You look great, Travis said, scanning my dress.
Brazil hugged me, pressing his cheek to mine.
And I hope you know America's Brazil is creepy story was just a line to get you in here.
I looked at America and she laughed.
It worked, didn't it?
Once everyone took turns hugging me and wishing me a happy birthday, I leaned into America's ear.
Where's Parker?
He'll be here later, she whispered. Shepley couldn't get him on the phone to let him know until this afternoon. Brazil cranked up the volume on the stereo and everyone screamed.
Come here, Abby, he said, walking to the kitchen.
He lined up shot glasses along the counter and pulled a bottle of tequila from the bar.
Happy birthday from the football team, baby girl,
pouring each shot glass full of Patron.
This is the way we do birthdays. You turn 19, you have 19 shots. You can drink them or give them away, but the more you drink, the more of these you get, he said, fanning out a handful of 20s.
Oh my God, I squealed.
Drink them up, Pidge, Travis said.
I looked to Brazil, suspicious. I get a 20 for every shot I drink?
That's right, lightweight.
Gauging by the size of you, I'm going to say we'll get away with losing $60 by the end of the night.
Think again, Brazil, I said, grabbing the first shot glass, rolling it across my lip, tipping my head back to empty the glass, and then rolling it the rest of the way, dropping it into my other hand.
Holy shit! Travis exclaimed.
This is really a waste, Brazil, I said, wiping the corners of my mouth. You shoot Cuervo, not Patron. The smug smile on Brazil's face faded, and he shook his head and shrugged.
Get after it, then. I've got the wallets of 12 football players that say you can't finish 10.
I narrowed my eyes. Double or Nothing says I can drink 15.
Whoa! Shepley cried. You're not allowed to hospitalize yourself on your birthday, Abby.
She can do it, America said, staring at Brazil.
$40 a shot? Brazil said, looking unsure.
Are you scared? I asked.
Hell no. I'll give you 20 a shot, and when you make it to 15, I'll double your total.
That's how Kansans do birthdays, I said, popping back another shot. An hour and 3 shots later, I was in the living room dancing with Travis. The song was a rock ballad, and Travis mouthed the words to me as we danced. He dipped me at the end of the first chorus, and I let my arms fall behind me. He popped me back up, and I sighed.
You can't do that when I start getting into the double-digit shots, I giggled.
Did I tell you how incredible you look tonight? I shook my head and hugged him, laying my head on his shoulder. He tightened his grip and buried his face in my neck, making me forget about decisions or bracelets or my separate personalities. I was exactly where I wanted to be. When the music changed to a faster beat, the door opened.
Parker, I said, running over to hug him. You made it!
Sorry I'm late, Abs, he said, pressing his lips against mine. Happy birthday.
Thanks, I said, seeing Travis stare at us from the corner of my eye.
Parker lifted my wrist.
You wore it.
I said I would. Want to dance? He shook his head.
I don't dance.
Oh, well, you want to witness my 6th shot of Patron? I smiled, holding up my 5.20s.
I make double if I get to 15.
That's a bit dangerous, isn't it? I leaned into his ear.
I am totally hustling them. I've played this game with my dad since I was 16.
Oh, he said, frowning with disapproval. You drank tequila with your dad? I shrugged. It was his way of bonding. Parker seemed unimpressed as his eyes left mine, scanning the crowd.
I can't stay long. I'm leaving early for a hunting trip with my father.
It's a good thing my party was tonight or you wouldn't have made it tomorrow, I said, surprised to hear of his plans. He smiled and took my hand.
I would have made it back in time.
I pulled him to the counter, picked up another shot glass and killed it, slamming it on the counter upside down like I had the previous 5. Brazil handed me another 20, and I danced into the living room. Travis grabbed me, and we danced with America and Shepley. Shepley slapped me on the butt.
One!
America added a second swat on my backside, and then the entire party joined in, sans Parker. At number 19, Travis rubbed his hands together.
My turn.
I rubbed my sore posterior.
Be easy, my ass hurts.
With an evil smirk, he reared his hand far above his shoulder. I closed my eyes tight. After a few moments, I peeked back. Just before his hand made contact, he stopped and gave me a gentle pat.
19!
He exclaimed. The guests cheered, and America started a drunken rendition of Happy Birthday. I laughed when the part came to say my name, and the entire room sang Pigeon. Another slow song came over the stereo, and Parker pulled me to the makeshift dance floor. It didn't take me long to figure out why he didn't dance.
Sorry,
he said after stepping on my toes for the 3rd time. I leaned my head on his shoulder.
You're doing just fine,
I lied. He pressed his lips against my temple.
What are you doing Monday night?
Going to dinner with you?
Yes,
in my new apartment.
You found one!
He laughed and nodded.
We'll order in, though. My cooking isn't exactly edible.
I'd eat it anyway, I said, smiling up at him. Parker glanced around the room and then led me to a hallway. He gently pressed me against the wall, kissing me with his soft lips. His hands were everywhere. At first I played along, but after his tongue infiltrated my lips, I got the distinct feeling that I was doing something wrong.
Okay, Parker,
I said, maneuvering away.
Everything all right?
I just think it's rude of me to make out with you in a dark corner when I have guests out there. He smiled and kissed me again.
You're right. I'm sorry.
I just wanted to give you a memorable birthday kiss before I left.
You're leaving?
He touched my cheek. I have to wake up in 4 hours, Abs. I pressed my lips together.
Okay. I'll see you Monday.
You'll see me tomorrow. I'll stop by when I get back. He led me to the door and then kissed my cheek before he left. I noticed that Shepley, America, and Travis were all staring at me.
Daddy's gone! Travis yelled when the door closed. Time to get this party started!
Everyone cheered and Travis pulled me to the center of the floor.
Hang on, I'm on a schedule, I said, leading him by the hand to the counter.
I knocked back another shot and laughed when Travis took one from the end, sucking it down. I grabbed another and swallowed, and he did the same.
7 more, Abby, Brazil said, handing me 2 more $20 bills.
I wiped my mouth as Travis pulled me to the living room again. I danced with America and then Shepley. But when Chris Jenks from the football team tried to dance with me, Travis pulled him back by the shirt and shook his head. Chris shrugged and turned, dancing with the first girl he saw. The 10th shot hit hard, and I felt a little dizzy standing on Brazil's couch with America, dancing like clumsy grade schoolers. We giggled over nothing, waving our arms around to the beat. I stumbled, nearly falling off the couch backward, but Travis's hands were instantly on my hips to steady me.
You've made your point, he said. You've drank more than any girl we've ever seen. I'm cutting you off.
The hell you are, I slurred. I have $600 waiting on me at the bottom of that shot glass, and you of all people aren't going to tell me I can't do something extreme for cash.
If you're that hard up for money, Pidge...
I'm not borrowing money from you, I sneered.
I was gonna suggest pawning that bracelet, he smiled.
I smacked him on the arm just as America started the countdown to midnight. When the hands of the clock superimposed on the 12, we all celebrated. I was 19. America and Shepley kissed each side of my cheek, and then Travis lifted me off the ground, twirling me around.
Happy birthday, Pigeon, he said with a soft expression.
I stared into his warm brown eyes for a moment, feeling lost inside of them. The room was frozen in time as we stared at each other, so close I could feel his breath on my skin.
Shots!
I said, stumbling to the counter.
You look torn up, Abby. I think it's time to call it a night, Brazil said.
I'm not a quitter, I said.
I want to see my money.
Brazil placed a 20 under the last 2 glasses, and then he yelled at his teammates.
She's gonna drink 'em. I need 15.
They all groaned and rolled their eyes, pulling out their wallets to form a stack of 20s behind the last shot glass. Travis had emptied the other 4 shots on the other side of my 15.
I would have never believed that I could lose $50 on a 15-shot bet with a girl, Chris complained.
Believe it, Jenks, I said, picking up a glass in each hand.
I knocked back each of the glasses and waited for the vomit rising in my throat to settle.
Pigeon,
Travis said, taking a step in my direction. I raised a finger and Brazil smiled.
She's going to lose it, he said.
No, she won't, America shook her head. Deep breath, Abby.
I closed my eyes and inhaled, picking up the last shot.
Holy God, Abby, you're going to die of alcohol poisoning, Shepley cried.
She's got this, America assured him.
I tipped my head and let the tequila flow down my throat. My teeth and lips had been numb since shot number 8, and the kick of the 80 proof had long since lost its edge. The entire party erupted into whistles and yells as Brazil handed me the stack of money.
Thank you, I said with pride, tucking the money away in my bra.
You're incredibly sexy right now, Travis said in my ear as we walked to the living room.
We danced into the morning, and the tequila running through my veins eased me into oblivion. Chapter 8. Rumors. When my eyes finally peeled open, I saw that my pillow consisted of denim and legs. Travis sat with his back against the tub, his head leaned against the wall, passed out cold. He looked as rough as I felt. I pulled the blanket off of me and stood up,
gasping at my horrifying reflection in the mirror above the sink. I looked like death. Mascara smeared, black tear stains down my cheek, lipstick smudged across my mouth, and my hair had balls of rats on each side. Sheets, towels, and blankets surrounded Travis. He had fashioned a soft pallet to sleep on while I expelled the 15 shots of tequila I'd consumed the night before. Travis had held my hair out of the toilet and sat with me all night. I turned on the faucet, holding my hand under the water until it was the temperature I wanted. Scrubbing the mess from my face, I heard a moan from the floor. Travis stirred, rubbed his eyes and stretched, and then looked beside him, jerking in a panic. "I'm right here," I said. "Why don't you go to bed? Get some sleep?"
"You okay?"
he said, wiping his eyes once more.
"Yeah, I'm good."
"Well, good as I can be. I'll feel better once I get a shower." He stood up.
"You took my crazy title last night, just so you know. I don't know where that came from, but I don't want you to do it again."
"It's pretty much what I grew up around, Trav. Not a big deal." He took my chin in his hands and wiped the remaining smeared mascara from under my eyes with his thumbs. "It was a big deal to me."
"Fine. I won't do it again. Happy?"
"Yes.
But I have something to tell you, if you promise not to freak out."
"Oh God, what did I do?"
"Nothing. But you need to call America."
"Where is she?"
"At Morgan. She got into it with Shep last night."
I rushed through my shower and yanked down the clothes Travis had set on the sink. When I emerged from the bathroom, Shepley and Travis were sitting in the living room.
"What did you do to her?" I demanded.
Shepley's face fell.
"She's really pissed at me."
"What happened?"
"I was mad that she encouraged you to drink so much. I thought we were going to end up taking you to the hospital. One thing led to another, and the next thing I know, we're screaming at each other.
We were both drunk, Abby. I said some things I can't take back." He shook his head, looking to the floor.
"Like what?" I said, angry.
"I called her a few names I'm not proud of, and then told her to leave."
"You let her leave here drunk? Are you some kind of idiot?"
I said, grabbing at my purse.
"Easy, Pidge. He feels bad enough," Travis said.
I fished my cell phone out of my purse, dialing America's number.
"Hello?"
she answered. She sounded awful.
"I just heard," I sighed. "Are you okay?"
I walked down the hall for privacy, glancing back once to shoot a dirty look at Shepley. "I'm fine. He's an asshole." Her words were abrupt, but I could hear the hurt in her voice. America had mastered the art of hiding her emotions, and she could have hidden it from anyone but me.
"I'm sorry I didn't go with you."
"You were out of it, Abby," she said dismissively.
"Why don't you come get me? We can talk about it."
She breathed into the phone.
"I don't know. I don't really feel like seeing him."
"I'll tell him to stay inside then." After a long pause, I heard keys clink in the background.
"All right. I'll be there in a minute."
I walked into the living room, pulling my purse over my shoulder. They watched me open the door to wait for America, and Shepley scooted forward on the couch.
"She's coming here?"
"She doesn't want to see you, Shep. I told her you'd stay inside." He sighed and fell against the cushion.
"She hates me.
I'll talk to her. You better get one amazing apology together, though." 10 minutes later, a car horn beeped twice outside, and I closed the door behind me. When I reached the bottom of the stairs, Shepley rushed past me to America's red Honda, and hunched over to see her through the window. I stopped in my tracks, watching America snub him as she looked straight ahead. She rolled down her window, and Shepley seemed to be explaining, and then they began to argue. I went inside to give them their privacy.
"Pigeon?"
Travis said, trotting down the stairs.
"It doesn't look good."
"Let them figure it out. Come inside," he said, intertwining his fingers in mine to lead me up the stairs.
"Was it that bad?" I asked.
He nodded.
"It was pretty bad. They're just getting out of the honeymoon stage, though. They'll work it out."
"For someone that's never had a girlfriend, you seem to know about relationships."
"I have 4 brothers and a lot of friends,"
he said, grinning to himself. Shepley stomped into the apartment and slammed the door behind him.
"She's fucking impossible!"
I kissed Travis on the cheek. That's my cue.
Good luck, Travis said.
I slid in beside America and she huffed.
He's fucking impossible.
I giggled, but she shot a glare in my direction.
Sorry,
I said, forcing my smile to fade. We set out for a drive and America yelled and cried and yelled some more. At times she broke into rants that seemed to be directed at Shepley, as if he were sitting in my place. I sat quietly, letting her work it out in a way only America can.
He called me irresponsible. Me. As if I don't know you. As if I haven't seen you rob your dad of hundreds of dollars drinking twice as much. He doesn't know what the hell he's talking about. He doesn't know what your life was like. He doesn't know what I know. And he acts like I'm his child instead of his girlfriend.
I rested my hand on hers, but she pulled it away.
He thought you would be the reason we wouldn't work out. And then he ended up doing the job on his own. And speaking of you, what the hell was that last night with Parker?
The sudden change of topic took me by surprise. What do you mean?
Travis threw you that party, Abby, and you go off and make out with Parker, and you wonder why everyone is talking about you. Hold on a minute. I told Parker we shouldn't be back there. What does it matter if Travis threw me that party or not? I'm not with him.
America looked straight ahead, blowing a puff of air from her nose.
All right, Mare. What is it? You're mad at me now?
I'm not mad at you.
I just don't associate with complete idiots.
I shook my head, and then looked out the window before I said something I couldn't take back. America had always been able to make me feel like shit on command.
Do you even see what's going on? She asked. Travis quit fighting. He doesn't go out without you. He hasn't brought any girls home since the Bimbo twins. Has yet to murder Parker, and you're worried that people are saying you're playing them both. You know why that is, Abby? Because it's the truth.
I turned, slowly craning my neck in her direction, trying to give her the dirtiest look I knew how.
What the hell is wrong with you? You're dating Parker now, and you're so happy, she said in a mocking tone. Then why aren't you at Morgan? Because I lost the bet, you know that. Give me a break, Abby. You talk about how perfect Parker is. You go on these amazing dates with him, talk to him for hours on the phone, and then you lay next to Travis every night. Do you see what's wrong with this situation? If you really liked Parker, your stuff would be at Morgan right now.
I clenched my teeth. You know I've never welched on a bet, Mare.
That's what I thought, she said, twisting her hands around the steering wheel. Travis is what you want, and Parker is what you think you need.
I know it looks that way, but
it looks that way to everyone. So if you don't like the way people are talking about you, change. It's not Travis's fault. He's done a 180 for you. You're reaping the rewards, and Parker's getting the benefits.
A week ago, you wanted me to pack up and never let Travis come near me again. Now you're defending him?
Abigail! I'm not defending him, stupid. I'm looking out for you. You're both crazy about each other. Do something about it. How could you possibly think I should be with him? I wailed. You are supposed to be keeping me away from people like him.
She pressed her lips together, clearly losing her patience.
You have worked so hard to separate yourself from your father. That's the only reason you're even considering Parker. He's the complete opposite of Mick, and you think Travis is going to land you right back where you were. He's not like your dad, Abby.
I didn't say he was, but it's putting me in a prime position to follow in his footsteps.
Travis wouldn't do that to you. I think you underestimate just how much you mean to him. If you just tell him,
no.
We didn't leave everything behind to have everyone here look at me the way they did in Wichita. Let's focus on the problem at hand. Shep is waiting for you.
I don't want to talk about Shep, she said, slowing to a stop at the light.
He's miserable, Mare. He loves you.
Her eyes filled with tears and her bottom lip quivered.
I don't care.
Yes, you do.
I know,
she whimpered, leaning against my shoulder. She cried until the light changed, and then I kissed her head.
Green light.
She sat up, wiping her nose.
I was pretty mean to him earlier. I don't think he'll talk to me now.
He'll talk to you? He knew you were mad. America wiped her face, and then made a slow U-turn. I was worried it would take a lot of coaxing on my part to get her to come in with me. But Shepley ran down the stairs before she turned off the ignition. He yanked open her car door, pulling her to her feet.
I'm so sorry, baby. I should have minded my own business. Please don't leave. I don't know what I'd do without you.
America took his face in her hands and smiled. You're an arrogant ass, but I still love you. Shepley kissed her over and over, like he hadn't seen her in months, and I smiled at a job well done. Travis stood in the doorway, grinning as I made my way into the apartment.
And they lived happily ever after, Travis said, shutting the door behind me.
I collapsed on the couch and he sat next to me, pulling my legs onto his lap.
What do you want to do today, Pidge?
Sleep? Or rest? Or sleep?
Can I give you your present first?
I pushed his shoulder.
Shut up. You got me a present?
His mouth curved into a nervous smile.
It's not a diamond bracelet, but I thought you'd like it.
I'll love it, sight unseen. He lifted my legs off of his lap and then disappeared into Shepley's bedroom. I raised an eyebrow when I heard him murmuring, and then he emerged with a box. He sat it on the floor at my feet, crouching behind it.
Hurry, I want you to be surprised.
He smiled.
Hurry,
I asked, lifting the lid. My mouth fell open when a pair of big, dark eyes looked up at me.
A puppy?
I shrieked, reaching into the box. I lifted the dark, wiry-haired baby to my face, and it covered my mouth in warm, wet kisses. Travis beamed, triumphant.
You like him?
Him? I love him.
You got me a puppy.
It's a Cairn Terrier.
I had to drive 3 hours to pick him up Thursday after class.
So when you said you were going with Shepley to take his car to the shop?
We went to get your present, he nodded.
He's Wiggly, I laughed.
Every girl from Kansas needs a Toto, Travis said, helping me hang on to the tiny fuzz ball in my lap.
He does look like Toto. That's what I'm going to call him,
I said, wrinkling my nose at the squirmy pup.
You can keep him here. I'll take care of him for you when you're back at Morgan.
His mouth pulled up into a half smile.
And it's my security that you'll visit when your month is up.
I pressed my lips together. I would have come back anyway, Trav. I'd do anything for that smile that's on your face right now.
I think you need a nap, Toto. Yes, you do.
I cooed to the puppy. Travis nodded, pulled me onto his lap, and then stood up.
Come on, then.
He carried me into his bedroom, pulled back the covers, and then lowered me to the mattress. Crawling over me, he reached over to pull the curtains closed, and then fell onto his pillow.
Thanks for staying with me last night, I said, stroking Toto's soft fur. You didn't have to sleep on the bathroom floor.
Last night was one of the best nights of my life.
I turned to see his expression. When I saw that he was serious, I shot him a dubious look. Sleeping in between the toilet and the tub on a cold, hard tile floor with a vomiting idiot was one of your best nights? That's sad, Trav.
No. Sitting up with you when you're sick and you falling asleep in my lap was one of my best nights.
It wasn't comfortable. I didn't sleep worth a shit.
But I brought in your 19th birthday with you.
And you're actually pretty sweet when you're drunk.
I'm sure between the heaving and purging, I was very charming. He pulled me close, patting Toto, who was snuggled up to my neck.
You're the only woman I know that still looks incredible with your head in the toilet. That's saying something.
Thanks, Trav. I won't make you babysit me again. He leaned against his pillow.
Whatever. No one can hold your hair back like I can.
I giggled and closed my eyes, letting myself sink into the darkness.
Get up, Abby!
America yelled, shaking me. Toto licked my cheek.
I'm up, I'm up.
We've class in half an hour. I jumped from the bed.
I've been asleep for 14 hours? What the hell?
Just get in the shower. If you're not ready in 10 minutes, I'm leaving your ass here.
I don't have time to take a shower,
I said, changing out of the clothes I fell asleep in. Travis propped his head on his hand and chuckled.
You girls are ridiculous. It's not the end of the world if you're late for one class.
It is if you're America. She doesn't miss and she hates being late, I said, pulling a shirt over my head and stepping into my jeans.
Let Mare go ahead. I'll take you.
I hopped on one foot and then the other, pulling my boots on.
My bag is in her car, Trav.
Whatever.
he shrugged.
Just don't hurt yourself getting to class.
He lifted Toto, cradling him with one arm like a tiny football, taking him down the hall. America rushed me out the door and into the car.
I can't believe he got you that puppy,
she said, looking behind her as she backed out from the parking spot. Travis stood in the morning sun, in his boxers and bare feet, clutching his arms around him from the cold. He watched Toto sniff a small patch of grass, coaxing him like a proud father.
I've never had a dog before, I said.
This should be interesting. America glanced at Travis before shoving the Honda into gear.
Look at him, she said, shaking her head.
Travis Maddox, Mr. Mom.
Toto is adorable. Even you will be putty in his paws.
You can't take it back to the dorm with you, you know. I don't think Travis thought this out.
Travis said he'd keep him at the apartment.
She raised one eyebrow.
Of course he will.
Travis thinks ahead, I'll give him that, she said, shaking her head as she slammed on the gas. I puffed, sliding into my seat with 1 minute to spare. Once the adrenaline absorbed into my system, the heaviness from my post-birthday coma settled over my body. America elbowed me when class was dismissed, and I followed her to the cafeteria. Shapley met us at the door, and I noticed right away that something was wrong.
Mare, Shapley said, grabbing her arm.
Travis jogged to where we stood and grabbed his hips, puffing until he caught his breath.
Is there a mob of angry women chasing you? I teased.
He shook his head.
I was trying to catch you. Before you went in, he breathed.
What's going on? America asked Shepley.
There's a rumor, Shepley began. Everyone's saying that Travis took Abby home and... The details are different, but it's pretty bad.
What? Are you serious? I cried. America rolled her eyes.
Who cares, Abby? People have been speculating about you and Trav for weeks.
It's not the first time someone has accused you two of sleeping together. Travis and Shepley traded glances.
What? I said.
There's something else, isn't there? Shepley winced.
They're saying you slept with Parker at Brazil's, and then you let Travis take you home, if you know what I mean.
My mouth fell open.
Great! So I'm the school slut now?
Travis's eyes darkened and his jaws tensed.
This is my fault. If it was anyone else, they wouldn't be saying that about you.
He walked into the cafeteria, his hands and fists at his sides. America and Shepley followed behind him.
Let's just hope no one is stupid enough to say anything to him, America said.
Or her, Shepley added.
Travis sat a few seats across and down from me, brooding over his Reuben. I waited for him to look at me, wanting to offer a comforting smile. Travis had a reputation. But I let Parker take me into the hall. Shepley elbowed me while I stared at his cousin.
He just feels bad. He's probably trying to deflect the rumor.
You don't have to sit down there, Trav. Come on, come sit, I said, patting the empty surface in front of me.
I heard you had quite a birthday, Abby,
Chris Jenks said, throwing a piece of lettuce on Travis's plate.
Don't start with her, Jenks, Travis warned, glowering.
Chris smiled, pushing up his round pink cheeks.
I heard Parker is furious. He said he came by your apartment yesterday, and you and Travis were still in bed.
They were taking a nap, Chris, America sneered.
My eyes darted to Travis.
Parker came by?
He shifted uncomfortably in his chair.
I was gonna tell you.
When?
I snapped. America leaned into my ear.
Parker heard the rumor and came by to confront you. I tried to stop him, but he walked down the hall and totally got the wrong idea.
I planted my elbows on the table, covering my face with my hands.
This just keeps getting better.
So you guys really didn't do the deed?
Chris asked.
Damn, that sucks. Here I thought Abby was right for you after all, Trav.
You better stop now, Chris, Shepley warned.
If you didn't sleep with her, mind if I take a shot?
Chris said, chuckling to his teammates. My face burned with the initial embarrassment, but then America screamed in my ear, reacting to Travis jumping from his seat. He reached over the table, grabbed Chris by the throat with one hand and a fistful of t-shirt in the other. The linebacker slid across the table, and dozens of chairs grated across the floor as people stood to watch. Travis punched him repeatedly in the face.
his elbow spiking high in the air before he landed each blow. The only thing Chris could do was to cover his face with his hands. No one touched Travis. He was out of control, and his reputation left everyone afraid to get in his way. The football players ducked and winced as they watched their teammate being assaulted without mercy on the tile floor. "Travis!" I screamed, running around the table. In mid-punch, Travis withheld his fist and then released Chris's shirt, letting him fall to the floor. He was panting when he turned to look at me. I'd never seen him look so frightening. I swallowed and took a step back as he shouldered past me. I took a step to follow him, but America grabbed my arm. Shepley kissed her quickly and then followed his cousin out the door.
"Jesus," America whispered.
We turned to watch Chris's teammates pick him off the floor. And I cringed at his red and puffy face. Blood trickled from his nose, and Brazil handed him a napkin from the table.
"That crazy son of a bitch!"
Chris groaned, sitting on the chair and holding his hand to his face. He looked at me.
"I'm sorry, Abby. I was just kidding."
I had no words to reply. I couldn't explain what had just happened any more than he could.
"She didn't sleep with either of them," America said.
"You never know when to shut up, Jenks," Brazil said, disgusted. America pulled on my arm. "Come on, let's go." She didn't waste time tugging me to her car. When she put the gear in drive, I grabbed her wrist.
"Wait, where are we going?"
"We're going to Shep's. I don't want him to be alone with Travis. Did you see him? Dude's gone off the deep end."
"Well, I don't want to be around him either."
America stared at me in disbelief. "There's obviously something going on with him. Don't you want to know what it is?" My sense of self-preservation is outweighing my curiosity at this point, Mare.
"The only thing that stopped him was your voice, Abby. He'll listen to you. You need to talk to him."
I sighed and released her wrist, falling against the back of my seat. "All right, let's go." We pulled into the parking lot, and America slowed to a stop between Shepley's Charger and Travis's Harley. She walked to the stairs, putting her hands on her hips with a touch of her own dramatic flair.
"Come on, Abby," America called, motioning for me to follow.
Hesitant, I finally followed, stopping when I saw Shepley hurry down the stairs to speak quietly in America's ear. He looked at me, shook his head, and then whispered to her once again.
"What?"
I asked.
"Shep doesn't..."
She fidgeted.
"Shep doesn't think it's a good idea that we go in. Travis is still pretty mad."
"You mean he doesn't think I should go in," I said. America shrugged sheepishly, and then looked to Shepley. Shepley touched my shoulder.
"He didn't do anything wrong, Abby. He just doesn't... He doesn't want to see you right now."
"If I didn't do anything wrong, then why doesn't he want to see me?"
"I'm not sure. He won't talk to me about it. I think he's embarrassed that he lost his temper in front of you."
"He lost his temper in front of the entire cafeteria. What do I have to do with it?"
"More than you think," Shepley said, dodging my eyes.
I watched them for a moment, and then pushed past them, running up the stairs. I burst through the doors to find an empty living room. The door to Travis's room was closed, so I knocked.
"Travis? It's me, open up."
"Walk away, Pidge,"
he called from the other side of the door. I peeked in to see him sitting on the edge of his bed, facing the window. Toto pawed at his back, unhappy about being ignored.
"What is going on with you, Trav?"
I asked. He didn't answer, so I stood beside him, crossing my arms. His jaw tensed, but he no longer wore the frightening expression he had in the cafeteria. He seemed sad. The deep, hopeless kind.
"You're not going to talk to me about this?"
I waited, but he remained quiet. I turned for the door and he finally sighed.
"You know the other day when Brazil mouthed off to me and you rushed to my defense? Well, that's what happened. I just got a little carried away."
"You were angry before Chris said anything," I said, returning to sit beside him on the bed.
He continued to stare out the window.
"I meant what I said before. You need to walk away, Pidge. God knows I can't walk away from you."
I touched his arm.
"You don't want me to leave."
Travis's jaws tensed again, and then he took me under his arm. He paused for a moment, and then kissed my forehead, pressing his cheek against my temple.
It doesn't matter how